In 2018, I went to the dentist for a routine checkup, and I happened to mention to the dentist that I had an irritation on the inside of my right cheek and like a little growth. And it didn't really stress me out because I tended to chew the side of my mouth out of anxiety. And so the dentist shined her headlamp into my mouth and said, "Mouth guard, let's do that. And up your anxiety meds," both of which I did. And went back and wore the mouth guard dutifully every night, and woke up, and every morning my cheeks still hurt, and there was still this little bubble in there. So I went back to the dentist, and I said, "Mouth guard's not helping," and they prescribed something called magic mouthwash, which has nothing to do with magic at all. It's a numbing agent, and so I got, it's like drinking liquid denial. Like, that's the way I looked at it. Right. Nonetheless, I took the liquid denial home, and I took it, and things did not get better. In fact, the pain was starting to get worse on the side of my face. Eventually, it was, it had gotten to the place where I needed to go and find another, a different opinion. So I went to the ENT, and the first thing that the ENT did was prescribe magic mouthwash. And I mean, I knew, of course, that that wasn't going to work. I think he probably did too. At this point, I knew something was very wrong because the pain was really, it was really radiating out and to the full area of my face. So next steps were a biopsy, and I waited, and the pain got worse to the point where I couldn't use the inside of my mouth to chew anything, and the pain was pretty excruciating. And then I got the call that no one wants to get. You have a cancerous tumor on the inside of your mouth. I don't really remember what I said, but I do remember that the ENT said the plan is surgery and then 6 weeks of radiation. So I went into survival mode. And between the time that I got the information about the diagnosis and surgery, it was an excruciating time because the pain just kept getting worse and worse and worse. And I could not wait to have surgery. I wanted it to come immediately because when you have a cancerous tumor growing on the inside of your mouth, and you can feel it, you kind of want somebody to take it out, like ASAP, right? So luckily, I had surgery eventually, and the cancerous tumor on the inside of my mouth was removed, and my lymph nodes on my right-hand side were removed, and my margins were clear, and all this was very great and happy. The only thing was that when they removed the cancerous tumor from the inside of my cheek, they also removed my cheek and the entire right side of my face. Of course, I had very little preparation for this. And actually, the fact that my face was replaced by my thigh, that is, like, medically fascinating to me and revolting and horrifying. I didn't have much time to worry about it, though, because my radiation treatment started. And that's really when I experienced quite a bit of pain that I probably couldn't have imagined. Radiation is essentially burning, so I had very painful burns on the outside of my face and on the inside of my cheek and on my lips. And, of course, I couldn't take anything inside my mouth, so I had NG tube. And I was on high doses of pain medicine. I was on fentanyl patch, and that, like, barely did anything, right? At one point, even ice chips really hurt to touch my mouth. So, and not surprisingly, I started to lose weight. It was at this time that, and when I could think rationally, it was at this time that a wave of euphoria swept over me. I could eat whatever I wanted. I had permission not only to eat, but people were telling me to eat. And this was a kind of amazing moment for me, because for the past 20 years, I've been dealing with an eating disorder, which is all about not eating, right? At least in my case. And my eating disorder started when I was a young kid, but it really manifested by the time I was in high school. I was a competitive soccer player, and my body, I kind of wasn't attached to it. I kind of saw it as a tool, a machine. And I was on the path to get recruited to play D1 soccer. That was my path. And I really needed to get recruited to play D1 soccer because I needed the money to go to college. So I was recruited late in the game to play D1 soccer at George Washington University. Yeah, great. Except for I didn't want to go there. I wouldn't have applied there if it's a great school, no offense, but like I would not have gone there had I not been recruited, and I felt like I was indebted to my body for my college education. I had to control my body and execute my body and keep it fit, and I was just getting really tired of performing. So I went to GW, had a great first season, and I was miserable. I didn't feel like I fit in. I felt like I wasn't worthy of being there. And most of all, I just was tired. And I was tired of all the control and all the training and all the performance. So I made it my mission to get out of the situation. And the way I did that was by using my body as the narrative. I didn't have the language. I didn't know how to say what I was feeling or who to say it to. So I stopped eating. I starved myself. I started taking diet pills. I started over-exercising secretly in the gym so nobody else on the team could see me. I started eating surreptitiously. Everything kind of had this cast of shame around it. And I did a good job. I went home for winter break. I came back. I couldn't play anymore. I had lost probably about 25 pounds. And I was too weak, and I had no energy to play. So mission accomplished. I had starved myself right out of college. I had to relinquish my soccer scholarship, leave college, move back home. And I wish I could say I got treatment right then, because that would have been a good thing. Unfortunately, I didn't. And years went by. And that's kind of the trajectory that my life has taken over the past 20-some-odd years. I've been in and out of inpatient treatment, intensive outpatient treatment, of course, outpatient therapy. I've met with nutritionists. I've met with therapists. I've met with psychiatrists. I've been on every medicine that you've ever heard of. I've been on it. Ask me. I've been on it. And I've been up and down, quite literally and also figuratively. So when I started losing weight during cancer treatment, it was like the gift that I'd always wanted. The problem was that I had to have cancer to have the gift. Because during cancer treatment, I had this wave of permission to do what I had not been able to do before. Permission to eat what I wanted or drink what I wanted, and also permission to accept all of the support, the outpouring of support and love that those around me gave me. I wasn't used to that. I had permission to ask for help. I had the permission to be vulnerable. I had the permission to cry. I had the permission to not control myself because I had cancer. I also had permission to cancel my gym membership. I should say, yeah, I enjoyed that. And I remember one time that I went to Starbucks during COVID. It was during the pandemic, and I decided I'm going to get myself a Frappuccino. And this was, like, groundbreaking for me. I was so excited. And so I went to Starbucks, and I got a Frappuccino. It was chocolate chip. It was delicious. I enjoyed it. And it was the first time in I don't know how long that I was able to take something in like that without deep shame or guilt or regret. But again, the problem is, of course, that all of this had really high stakes. So the problem for me, in many ways, is that bodies heal, thankfully. But as my body healed, I kind of watched the permission fade away. Cancer was gone, and so I kind of felt back where I was before the cancer diagnosis in the first place. Because there's no treatment for the eating disorder like there is for cancer. You can't radiate it, you can't pump chemicals into your body. You can take medicine, but it's a really stubborn, stubborn illness. And when I started writing this talk, this was going to be hilarious. It was going to be, no, I'm serious. I'm sorry you missed it. It was going to be a cancer, it was going to be a cancer story, right, about getting diagnosis. I was going to be really funny about this thing with radiation, and then the sort of end, which right now you can see my thigh on my face, and it's been 8 surgeries since the original surgery to get me looking this good. Just saying. And I have my next one in June. I realized, though, as I was talking out the story and thinking it through, that I really couldn't tell the public cancer story, the one that is sort of legitimate and people expect to hear, without telling the private sort of secret story about the other life-threatening illness. So this is a story, I think, about the collision of two life-threatening illnesses and the broader battle, which I go through on a daily basis, between being sick and being well.